to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're joined, as we have the privilege of being each week, by one of the country's preeminent investigative reporters and national security columnists. He is Bill Gertz, the senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon and also the author of a prize-winning column in the Washington Times, Inside the Ring. We think of these as our tours with him inside the ring. Bill Gertz, welcome back. It's always good to have you with us.
Hi, Frank. Always good to be on the show.
Listen, there's so much you've been reporting on lately, and of course, as we're in the end game of this great national election to determine who will be the next commander-in-chief, so much of it is of really critical importance. Let me start, I guess, Bill, by talking about the report you filed this week concerning the latest major Russian strategic nuclear exercise and what it tells us about what that next commander-in-chief is going to confront, almost certainly, from Vladimir Putin's reset.
Yes. The Russian nuclear forces conducted a special, extremely large-scale nuclear exercise last month. It took place between October 10th and October 12th, was not announced. Analysts believe that the reason it wasn't announced is that the Russians were engaged in saber-rattling in an effort to use their nuclear forces to threaten the West, but also somewhat cognizant that we are in the final edges of a presidential election campaign and didn't want to directly intervene, as they have through cyber means, apparently. But this was a very large scale that involved the launches of three long-range ballistic missiles, as well as the mobilization of large numbers of forces. And clearly, the Russians were sending a signal. Didn't get a lot of attention in the mainstream press because of the election campaign, but clearly the Pentagon and the Defense Intelligence Agency were monitoring this closely. And according to officials I talked to, it was the largest and it was unprecedented since the Soviet period for the Russians to conduct such a large-scale nuclear exercise.
And Bill, were there particular insights into the kinds of weapons that they were actually testing and the capabilities thereby they've now established?
There wasn't anything unique about the weapons or forces. It was, like I say, mainly the three nuclear tests was the main issue. They did two submarine launch missiles and one ground-based mobile missile launch, long-range test, which, again, is unusual for this kind of an exercise. They've been known to do nuclear exercises in October timeframe, but nothing on the scale and of this one. They also conducted a large-scale civilian evacuation drill, which involved some 40 million people.
Well, and Bill, when you're talking about an exercise of civil defenses on that scale, combined with the nuclear saber rattling, it really does raise the question, it seems to me, and one that we should be very much thinking about in the course of this next election, whether the Russians are really preparing for a nuclear war.
Clearly, that is their intention. They are viewing their conventional forces as weakening and unable to withstand the high-tech forces of the West. The ostensible motivation, they say, is that Russia is being encircled. This is part of Putin's ideology. He's developed this pan-Eurasian outlook that's basically trying to reassert a Soviet-level empire in a swath of land stretching from the Pacific to the Atlantic. And he's got an ideology that goes along with that. And again, nuclear weapons play a key role for the Russians in try and reestablishing this superpower status that was lost pretty much after the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991.
You've written this week about new malware that is making its presence felt in a recent attack on some of our internet assets. Talk a bit about that, if you would, and who you think's behind it and what the strategic implications of such capabilities might be.
Yeah, this was a new style cyber attack that was carried out, a large-scale, massive disruption of the internet that occurred about 2 weeks ago against a internet domain name server. And this DNS service is basically translation of words. When you type in a name to the search engine, it's translated into numbers, and that's what this service does. And there's a new malware that has been released in the open that hackers have developed. It's called Mirai. And what's unique about it is that it's based on the ability to go out into this digital realm and using default passwords for devices known as the Internet of Things. Smart devices such as your DVR, your security cameras, online cameras, all of these things come with very easily guessed default passwords. This new software can go out and get into these things, turn them into robots, and then use them to attack specific targets by making internet requests of these domain name servers. And they basically shut down the internet in the eastern part of the United States. The FBI is warning that this could have been a trial run, this attack against the domain name server Dyn. We could be facing more major disruptions of the internet in the coming months.
Bill, let me turn to one other topic that I know you're very much seized with, as am I, and that is China. You have helped publicize the work of an otherwise rarely acknowledged, certainly not adequately acknowledged, sort of adjunct of congressional oversight, the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission. It's just published a new report, as I understand it. Give us a sense of some of its highlights, if you would.
Yeah, this was a draft report by the commission. Under transparency laws, they released the late draft of the report. I got a copy. And it is very eye-opening in a number of areas. Specifically this year, they include a chapter on China-North Korea relations. And they really report the bad news, which very few of the mainstream media have been reporting, which is that China is continuing to back this rogue state of North Korea with as its main trading partner, and is refusing to use its leverage to try to rein in the Kim Jong-un regime, which we've seen has conducted 5 nuclear tests, 2 just this year. So we are seeing this development, and of course the Obama administration has basically farmed out its North Korea policy to China, and luckily, this bipartisan congressional commission is really kind of blowing the whistle on this failed policy towards North Korea. That is certainly going to be high on the agenda of the next president this coming January. Another key element, which I have in a Asia Times column just published today, it talks about China developing new power projection capabilities, things like amphibious assault vehicles, long-range aviation refueling tankers, and new intelligence and reconnaissance capabilities that is going to give the Chinese a much greater ability to project power around the world. At this point, for a number of years, many of the intelligence analysts have said China doesn't seek anything more than just the ability to retake Taiwan. Well, the China Commission report, this forthcoming report, which will be out November 16th, says that that's not the case, that they're now working to become a major world power with the ability to project power as far as the Western Hemisphere, as well as Africa, Egypt, Europe, and the Middle East.
Bill, we have to leave it at that for the moment. So much more to talk about. You can find all of Bill's important work at GertzFile.com. I encourage you to check it out and come back to us again next week for more with him. And I hope you'll do so on Monday as well. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.